Dear friends in Jesus Christ, let's think about Jesus and understand that he is of utmost importance. Nobody else that we can ever even imagine is anything close to our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to do here at the beginning is talk a little bit about what the Son of God did before he put on human flesh. What does the Bible tell us? It says that God the Father created all things through the Son of God. The Bible also says that right after the fall into sin with Adam and Eve, right after they fell, what did God do? God promised that in time he would send his Son and he would defeat the devil. Also, too, during the Old Testament era, the Son of God was active guiding and protecting the people of Israel as the angel of the Lord. So important with the angel of the Lord. Some of you might remember 10 years ago, I preached a sermon on the angel of the Lord. I'm giving you a link to it here at the bottom of the sermon copy. And if you jump over to that, you're going to find out so many fantastic things that the angel of the Lord did. The angel of the Lord is the very Son of God before he put on human flesh. And then, what about after he put on human flesh? We're more familiar with that. He was given the name Jesus. He fulfilled the law as our substitute. So God says to us, you be holy because I am holy. Oh, we can't do it. We can't even come close. So the Son of God did it for us. He lived that holy, perfect, sinless life, fulfilling every law of God. And then, of course, on the cross, he received our sins. He received God's eternal punishment. He laid down his life. He is now our risen Savior. And he has opened heaven to all who repent and receive him as Savior and Lord. Those are things I think we know already, but I wanted to go over them here at the beginning. And then I want to come to the topic of the I Am. So remember back with the burning bush. So Moses, he sees a bush burning, but it's not being consumed. He's told to remove his shoes because he's walking on holy ground. And then a voice speaks from the burning bush. Who was that speaking? That was the Son of God. He is the one who was speaking. Remember, Moses said, what is your name? And he said, I am who I am. When Jesus talks about himself, he says, I am who I am. When we talk about him, we could say, he is who he is. He is, we might call, the great I am. In this brief series that I'm beginning today, we're going to focus on the phrase I am. And we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John to do that. And in the Gospel of John, we see 8 different times Jesus says, I am. Today, we're going to look at Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. We're going to pick up the other ones in the weeks ahead. Before we get to that, though, think about when Jesus returns. Maybe that's closer than we think. When he returns, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What is everyone really going to be saying when they say he is Lord? They're going to be saying he is Yahweh. So let's never somehow underestimate our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's realize his greatness. I encourage you to go back to that Angel of the Lord sermon. You'll be so surprised at the awesome things he did during the Old Testament era. Well, coming to the I Am banners, you might not have noticed them. We put them up last year in December, I believe, but they begin over here, though, with the bread of life. So we have 8 of them. So it would be 1, 2, 3, 4 going down that side. And then we come to 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we're going to take a look at all 8 of them again today, just the first 2. First of all, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So in order to get to the context of where he said that, we're going to take a look at John chapter 6, picking up in verse 28. You have to keep in mind here that right before that, at the beginning of John chapter 6, that is where Jesus fed the 5,000. So we have some of those same people who have eaten the loaves and have eaten the fish, and now they're asking Jesus a question. They say to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? In other words, they were kind of saying, what do we have to do to earn favor with God, is what they were saying. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What is he saying? Believe that I am the one that God the Father has sent into the world to take away the sin of the world. That is what he is saying. Let's always make sure we keep this in mind. Our work is not to do. Our work is to believe. But is that even a work that we can do? We know we can't. Apart from God's work, we are spiritually dead. We can do nothing. So a key passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, but by his doing, but by God's doing, you and me are in Christ Jesus, not by our doing, but by his. Going back to our text here in John 6, picking up in verse 30, the Bible says, so they said to him, these people who had participated in the feeding of the 5,000, so they said to Jesus, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Think about the foolishness of that. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men, probably plus a whole bunch of women and children. He did it, what, with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And they're like, prove to us that you are somebody important. Do something significant here. He's just done it with the feeding of the 5,000. And then they say to Jesus, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Think about the manna. The manna did sustain their bodies, just like the bread I offer to the children, but it's not going to give them life eternal. So Jesus is maybe a bit of a parallel to the manna, but he is the ultimate manna that gives us the gift of eternal life. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 4, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus did what he did for everyone, and through him, no one is left out. No one is barred from heaven through Jesus. But the problem is we live in a world where many people are either too busy for Jesus, or for one reason or another, they are rejecting Jesus. However, though, what he did is sufficient for everyone. Let's always know that is true. And then the Bible says, then they said to him, again, talking about these people who ate with the 5,000. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. When I read that a few days ago, I was thinking about what Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes. There at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, over there in Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So it is talking about hungering and thirsting, but it's not talking about a physical hungering and thirsting, but rather a spiritual hungering and thirsting. And then Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. What is the problem? Well, again, if we take a look at something else Jesus said, it actually comes later on in John 6. We're not going to look at that as part of this series, but a little bit later in the chapter, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So when I thought about that idea, unless the Father who sent me draws him, what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying, there's nothing that we can do to go to him, but God the Father has to take action in order to pull us to Jesus. That fits perfectly with the end of Romans chapter 8 in verse 30, what we call the order of salvation. So how God has predestined us before time, he has called us and justified us in time, and he will glorify us in eternity. I happen to have a little magnet here, and I just happen to have some little metal objects here, but when we think about a magnet, you know what happens? Wow, that magnet just draws that metal right to the magnet. That is the work of God in drawing us to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice that he has done that for us. Let's give him thanks. And then Jesus went on to say, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." What we're talking about here is not physical eating again. So it's not physical eating. We're not talking here about the Lord's Supper. Did Jesus say, oh, unless you eat the Lord's Supper, you can't go to heaven? No, that's not what he's talking about. Rather, we're talking about a spiritual eating. How is it that we eat Jesus spiritually? I thought the kids earlier did a pretty good job of that. We could also state we do that by trusting in him, by that God-given faith, by trusting in him, by learning from him. How do we do that? By reading the Bible and by following him, by being his disciples. Those are ways that we keep feeding on Jesus Christ, Yahweh, who is the true bread of life. And then we come to the second part here. One more banner, and then we'll conclude the sermon today. We'll pick up with part 3 next week. But here, we're in John chapter 8. So like I said earlier, with all of the I am statements, they're all in the Gospel of John. We're going in order. We just looked at chapter 6. Now we're jumping ahead to chapter 8. And the context here is basically in verses 12 through 19. Then Jesus again spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now keep in mind, those are the ones that he is talking to throughout this entire context here. The scribes and the Pharisees. Are they happy with Jesus? By no means. They are opposed to him. They are nitpicking with him. They're ultimately trying to destroy him. Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What's a way to think about that? Well, sin puts us in darkness, and it leads to not only physical death, but it leads ultimately to eternal punishment. What about Jesus? He is the light. He is the light of the world. By the light of Jesus, we see the truth that we are sinners. We see the truth of who he is. We see the truth of what he has done. And by the grace of God, we have life. We have life eternal in our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that received? It's received by grace through faith. God, the Holy Spirit, has to be at work through the Word in order to give us that gift of faith by which we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I also mentioned this with the kids a little bit, but think about how Jesus, he is like the sun, so bright, so shining everywhere, but the moon, it has no light in itself, but yet the moon sometimes can be very bright. I think about decades ago, sometimes for my job, I'd have to drive all night. Not that often, but sometimes I would. And sometimes it was like a beautiful summer night. What's nice about driving at night? Hey, no traffic. So it's a great situation, no traffic. And once in a while, there would be either a full moon or close to a full moon. And I can just picture myself driving with a smile on my face thinking, dear God, thank you for leaving on the nightlight. It was like nighttime, but it was so bright with that full moon on a cloudless night. So the moon can seem very bright, but in reality, it has no light at all, but the sun makes all the difference for the moon. Jesus Christ, he should make all the difference for us. He calls us to reflect him in what we say, in what we do. When we think about the moon, it is so small. So it is 400 times smaller than the sun. That's a lot. But it is 400 times closer to the earth than the sun. That's why we can have a perfect solar eclipse. When you read someone who studies the stars but is not a Christian, they're like, this is unbelievable. It is such a great coincidence. Do you think it's a great coincidence? By no means. That's exactly how God made it. Going on then with the text, it says, the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Now, we could almost agree with them here because the Bible says in a number of places that two or three witnesses are required. Jesus knows all about that. So he answered them and said, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from, that is from heaven, and I know where I am going, that is back to heaven. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. There are so many places in the Gospels where the religious leaders, they were being critical of Jesus, trying to either directly state or at least trying to imply that he was some kind of a radical rabbi that was over off by himself and had no connection with the Almighty God. But what does Jesus indicate over and over again? He is thoroughly working in a super close manner with the Almighty God. Every word he says, he's saying what he's saying because God told him to say it. Every miracle he seems to work, God the Father is working through him to work those miracles. In many other ways, this super close relationship. What did Jesus say? He said, I and the Father are one. Boy, that is super close. He wants us to know that is true. And then finally, the text says, so they were saying to Jesus, where is your father? Remember, Jesus had just mentioned his father. So they say, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. Very important. We live in a world today where so many different people, even so many, we might say, religious people, talk about God, talk about knowing God, maybe even talk about God the Father. But yet, what do they do with Jesus? They say he's not the Son of God, or they ignore him completely, or they throw him under the bus. Is that going to work for them? God wants us to know it will not work for them. Here's a key passage on that. here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, now he said these words to his disciples. He said to them, the one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects God the Father who sent me. So we have this super close connection with God the Father, God the Son, and people who are representing God the Father and God the Son in this world. So if people reject, for example, when I'm proclaiming the Word of God, if they're going to reject what I'm proclaiming about Christ, they are in turn rejecting Christ, and they are in turn rejecting God the Father. You can't have it any other way. Even if people don't personally like me, if they reject what I'm preaching that is the truth of God, then they are ultimately rejecting the Father. God wants us to see how it's all connected together. I didn't mention the Holy Spirit here, but certainly he would be in the mix as well. So everything is so closely connected. God wants us to see that, to rejoice in that. And then we could even think about the close connection between us who are believers. Wow, we are all the children of God. We are blessed now having the forgiveness of our sins. We know that one day we're going to dwell with God forever in a place that's so awesome we can't hardly begin to comprehend it. So many wonderful things are yet to come. And it's all because of our God-given relationship with Yahweh, the very Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us so that each week as we gather here in your special presence around word and sacrament, help us to remember our banners. Help us to see them. Help us to remember your awesome greatness. Help us to gladly feed on you day after day after day by trusting you, learning from you, following you, and then remembering our closeness to you, remembering that you are the light of the world, the true light of the world. May you enable us to reflect you to others in all that we say and do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.